Good morning in Tokyo, and welcome to the ReachMahjong.com April podcast. It is morning here, although I know when most of you listen to this, it probably won't be morning. But it might be. I'm Jen Barr. Just tripped over my tongue there. I'm here to introduce all the things we have this month on our podcast. We're going to have a league wrap-up for the Japan Professional Mahjong League, some Mahjong news, an interview with Paul Benadier from Kasu. That's our special feature this week. And then we have some ReachMahjong.com news. I know you can see a lot of things changing on our site, so I'm going to let you know about that. As far as me goes, my favorite subject, just kidding. I've been playing a lot of Mahjong lately. I actually got a limit hand yesterday at the parlor. I've been working at Mahjong Ferry. And I know some of the readers have been visiting the parlor last week. Two players from ICU came. That's International Christian University. And actually, I wasn't there to meet them. But I'm very thankful that they came. And hopefully they'll come again so I can play with them. So now we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with the league wrap-up and Mahjong.
I don't know, dude. I think everybody's all jealous and shit, because I'm like the lead singer of the band, dude. And I think everybody's got a fucking problem with me, dude. And they need to take it up with me after the show.
You're listening to the Reach Mahjong podcast, exclusively at ReachMahjong.com. Join the Japan Professional Mahjong League's Jen Barr and Garth Nelson to get all of your Mahjong news, strategy, professional interviews, weekly meetups, and more at ReachMahjong.com. And I'm back, and it's time for the Japan Professional Mahjong League's wrap-up for April. The new league started this month, so everybody is in new leagues, and some people stay the same, but there are some drop-downs, there are some moves-ups, and I'm just going to go over quickly the people that we usually go over. Let's start with A1. First of all, the Phoenix Cup happened right during the recording of our last podcast, and Maehara ended up being the winner of that one. So he is the top dog now. Last year's winner, Tomotake, is back in A1 after taking a year off until the finals this year. And he is currently in 6th place in A1. Naoki Setokuma, the first winner of the ReachMahjong.com Cup, is in 2nd place in A1 right now, which is great. We're really rooting for him. And we also interviewed him last week, so we'll be putting that up in the near future on ReachMahjong.com. We'll probably have part of it next week and part of it the week after. Also, Yuko Ito, another person who joined us on our trip to the Mahjong Super Cup in December, is in 8th place. He moved back up to A1. He was in A2 for a long time, even as a level 9 pro. And now he's in A1. And 8th isn't great, but I think only 2 people moved down out of 12, so he's still in okay shape. In A2, we have Taki, one of our featured players from last season. He's in 11th place with negative 13.8 points. And Aki Nikaido, the only woman in A2, she moved up last season. She is in 15th place with a negative 58.4. That's second to last. So I really hope that she'll come back. She's got a whole year to do it. So one day's score isn't a big indicator of what will happen for the rest of the season. In B1, our only friend right now is Hisato Sasaki. He was also a featured player last season. He's in 8th place right now with 4.1, and that's right in the middle. I think there's 16 players there. Shintaro Konno, one of our columnists and also the rules director for the ReachMahjong.com, I'm sorry, the World Series of Mahjong Reach event last year, is in 11th place with negative 19.1. He moved down to B2 from B1 last season. In C1, Michiyuki is in 3rd. You can read her interview on ReachMahjong.com. Kozue Miyauchi, one of our featured players from last season, is in 6th place with plus 40.4. So between 3rd place and 6th place, there's only a 7-point difference. and both of those girls are way up there, so they are kicking major butt. Saki Kurosawa is in 28th place with negative 21.1. She was also one of our featured players last season. And Rumi Nikai Nawaki's sister also had a huge negative score of negative 41.5, and she's way down in 31st place. So it does not look like she will be moving back up to B2 since these are only half-year sessions, but who knows, she could have a big comeback. We certainly hope so. In C2, another columnist, Shintaro Kamimura, the author of Shin's Eyes, in 16th place, positive 13.2, so he's in good shape. But in C2, 22 out of 36 people have a positive score. And that's obviously way more than half. That's pretty amazing, I think. And then we go to D1, where Garth is in 16th place out of 42 with a positive 2.9. So they're both in 16th place, and they have over 10-point score difference. Because in D1, only 17 out of 44 people have positive scores. Some people got some big scores, and some people got some small negatives. And then we go down to D2, where I remain, and I'm currently in 8th place with a positive 36 points. So it looks like I will have at least a better season than I did last year. And hopefully I will move up to D1 and join Garth and some of my other friends up there. In In the Japan Professional Mahjong League, we have a new league, the D3 League, and there are 30 players in there, even though there are over 40 players in the D1 and D2 leagues. Okay, now let's talk about some Japan Professional Mahjong League news. There's a new North Kanto League, and I attended the opening ceremony last Sunday with Kaori Shimizu and Yuko Ito, who both came with us on the trip to the Super Cup in Macau in December. And I actually got second place, and I'll be writing about that in the upcoming Mahjong Travel Journal update. This is going to be a league, so the first one was actually an exhibition tournament, but there were a number of pros, and we played the A rules. So I'm quite proud of my score there. That's probably my best scoring in any tournament before. I'm really excited for this league. It's going to be two sessions, each one Sunday per month. And so the morning is going to be the pro league, and only pros are allowed to join. And then in the afternoon, there will be an amateur league, where the amateurs join the pros for a league. So it should be a really fun experience. Perhaps some of our guys in Niigata could join, though I'm not sure they're going to be here long enough. But it should be really fun. And it's going to give me a lot more practice with the A rules, which I'm really excited about. And also I'm going to get to hang out with people like Kaori Shimizu every month. And she's awesome. So I'm really excited for that. Let's talk about some Mahjong news. On MahjongNews.com, they're mostly talking about the OEMC in Baden, which is happening this summer. There's also a new ReachMahjong.com website. That's our IICHI, unlike our REACH. This website is to list together all of the Reach Mahjong tournaments in the world. Right now I think mostly they have the European tournaments. But it is a good site, and they have a link to us right on the front page, so go ahead and check that out. See where you can participate in a Reach tournament near you. And it looks like MahjongNews.com is getting a makeover, so in the next few weeks you'll see a new MahjongNews.com. Moving on, we found out from our friend Benjamin Boas that there is a new political action committee in Japan to promote the legalization of mahjong as a gambling activity. Mahjong is not illegal per se, but gambling is definitely illegal in Japan. And this committee is led by Tadashi Saito. And he's in the, looks like the political league. He says that their primary aims for the new political action committee is to legalize mahjong that is played for 100 yen per 1,000 points and lower, and remove time restrictions, like right now the mahjong players are not allowed to stay open in the night, like I think probably after 11 p.m. or so. So this their goal is to change this law. Also, they're not allowed to offer a lot of prizes at tournaments, at least not from the prize pool. There has to be, I think the rule right now is there has to be a separate entity offering prizes. And it looks like that would probably also change. And they would change the category of Mahjong from Fuzoku. And Fuzoku is like basically anything that shouldn't be happening, but they allow to happen. It's kind of a strange concept. But this is why things like game arcades cannot let minors in after a certain time. And I'm not really sure how to explain it. Perhaps we can have Ben on again to kind of explain the concept. But if you say Fuzoku in Tokyo, it generally means a brothel house or a prostitution house. And it means different things in different regions. But as far as the law goes, it means, I suppose it means kind of shady companies or shady shops. But the law right now says any Fuzoku category shops must close at 11 p.m. So Mr. Saito thinks that 8 million people in Japan play Mahjong. Perhaps it's more. And he thinks that 95% of them are betting illegally, obviously, on these games. And every year there's a parlor called Zenjanren that sends people to the police to beg them not to crack down on them for being open at nighttime. But it doesn't have much effect. And he also thinks that if you get rid of Mahjong that allows gambling, which is the illegal aspect at this point, illegal but not uncommon, he said there would be no Mahjong industries. And he thinks that Mahjong will be legalized by the end of 2011. I'm not sure if that's a very realistic goal. That was Benjamin's opinion that I stole. But I guess since I told him now, then it's not stealing. I agree with him. I think 2011 is a bit on the optimistic side, but yeah, it's definitely something that we want, so I hope that he's right. And that's it for our Mahjong news for today. We're going to take another short break and we'll be back with the interview with Paul Benavir.
ReachMahjong.com is the number one source for Mahjong strategy discussion and Mahjong news from Asia. Visit our site to find out how you can use ReachMahjong.com to reach Mahjong players and professionals all over the world. We can even report live from your event. For more information, visit ReachMahjong.com or email advertise@ReachMahjong.com to see how you can buy time and space with Reach.
Okay, welcome to the interview portion of the ReachMahjong.com podcast, and today we have our third interview of all the podcasts we've had, not including Gemma, because she's a member of the team. But today we have Paul Benedier. Did I say that wrong? Benedier.
Benedier.
Paul Benedier with us from Austria, and Paul Benedier is one of the leaders of the club that we have actually featured on our site before, Kasu. In Austria, and he's here in Tokyo studying, so we're going to talk to him about Kasu in Austria and about studying in Japan and about playing Mahjong in Japan, because he has been doing a lot of that since he got here. So I'd like to start off. Can you just say a few words about yourself, why you came to Japan, why you decided to study, and how you got started in Mahjong as well?
Well, you decided to come to Japan 2 years ago because there are many things I like about the culture, and especially the games, like Hanafuda, Kudofuda, Mahjong, Shogi, and we always played Japanese games because we always sought for new games. And I believe it's 2 years ago now that a friend of mine started playing Mahjong, Reach Mahjong, because of an anime show, Akagi.
Yeah, I got you.
That was great back 3 years ago. And, well, we taught it ourselves, so it was pretty hard starting off. And
where did you get your information at first? Because at that time, reachmahjong.com was not available yet.
Yeah, well, my friend is pretty strong in research in internet, and somehow he found the information and we put it together, so we started out playing without Yahoo. So I remember that time it was so easy. We thought that cannot be the true game. And well, somehow we got more and more into it, and somehow more sites appeared in the last 2 years. There was a pretty boom in Europe about Reach Mahjong, because Mahjong was always there for the last 6-7 years, but it was the Chinese official rules.
Mm-hmm.
And we could take off. That's why our rules at CAS different, pretty different from the ones playing in the north of Europe or the MO officials rules.
Mm, so is it's closer to the rules actually played in Japan, or have you made your own rules as well?
It's pretty close to the no rate and rate places I saw here in Japan. We just have a different way of counting OYAs and us, so this setup is different. But the rules could be played here in the parlor, everywhere.
Nice, so you've been going to parlors.
Yeah, I found two Norate parlors, we called them. And I have much fun. Since coming here every day, I played at least 2 hours at one of these places. And it's a great experience, and I hope that many people who come to Japan do so, because it enriches your game pretty much.
When you go to these parlors, is it usually the same players that are there every day, or is it different players every day?
Well, there are still some older men and women who are always there because they seem to have the free time. And of course, there are still people who different day to day, but I think it's mixed.
Mm-hmm.
Like 50% of these two places I've been to come once a week, and other people every other day. So I'm one of the people coming every day. So
so now you're going to study Japanese. Is that like linked in with your games? You want to study because of your games, or you have
the games? Yeah, the games pretty broadened that interest in Japan. But I was always pretty interested since I started doing martial arts at since my youth, and that's how somehow got me interested in the whole culture thing.
I see. But your name is Kasu, which is not really a mahjong name.
Well, it's a name out of a combination from Hanafuda,
mm-hmm.
which is, as a koekoi to be specific, which is a great combination because you have 10 Kasu cards. These are the worthless cards with nothing on it. And if you have these 10, you just only get 1 yaku. But every other card gives you 1 yaku more, and it starts a pretty big combo. You can go to hundreds of yaku with it. And that's why we thought, let's call our club CAS, because we are all a bunch of, well, students, and we're no goods. And we said, hey, if many of us rock together, we can take the world on. And we could.
And I think you are. I mean, you've had a really successful tournament already. There were 20 people at your tournament in Vienna.
Yes.
In December. Can you talk about that tournament a little bit? You guys decided to put it on, you found the place, you built a table. Can you just talk about the experience? Like, what made you guys decide to run the tournament, invite everyone in Europe, and make the table? And
well, organizing something is pretty easy for us, even if it's something we never did, because many of us are used to organizing things since we're a child, because we had to do much organizing for these Japan-related conventions. And hey, we said we do a shogi, we do a koekoi, we do a mahjong, one tournament, and we did. And mahjong wasn't that harder to do. We just fought with Greens, as a Rafael Hobinger, my club vice. That hey, we could do a table, and we bought one and set it together. He made the finishing touches, and we thought, hey, that would be a great first prize. Reach Mahjong helped us with the second place prizes through a bit of sponsorship pool, and the people were nice, so it was pretty easy. and all the people who have come to the tournament are these open-hearted people like you have in Europe Mahjong, and that's one great set of thinking, I believe.
That's definitely one of the things that our teacher, Mr. Moriyama, mm-hmm. noticed when he was in Germany last year for the Reach Championship. He said that the mindset of the European players was just so much nicer.
And, yeah, you definitely.
Know, people, if somebody's going slow, then they'll wait for them and be nice. Well, people here might get a little bit more irritated and maybe say something if they have to wait for a long time. Mm-hmm. But in Europe, it was more everybody's having fun. You know, this is a game we're playing together. And it was really great. That's something that we really liked about playing there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I believe so too, because there's no money in the game. Because I experienced in the no-rate places, the mindset is pretty much the same. Just they're playing Japanese as a Mahjong, it's faster, of course, and there are things typical Japanese, like they apologize if they think about their turn. Mm-hmm. We do not do that. In Europe, we're playing at a much, much slower pace.
Yeah.
And it's clear for us we have to think about our hands. Japanese people do not seem to do that after playing with about 60 people.
Right. I think a lot of them also have probably been playing longer than most of the European people have been playing, so perhaps they're more used to some of the situations. I find that I think a lot less now than I used to, mm-hmm. although I still think longer than the people who have been playing for, you know, 60 years.
Yeah, sure. But still, the Mahjong population outside of our club in Austria is pretty old compared to us, like 20, 40 years older, 20, 30, 40 years older. Especially in the north, there are young players. Yes, there are, but I have not found a club which has so many youths in it. Like us, we are all between 20 and 30.
Right.
2-3 exceptions. Okay. What very young or older.
What rules are they using? At the people outside of your club, the older generation you're talking about. What rules do they play with generally?
Well, most of them play in Chinese,
mm-hmm.
so I cannot talk about that. Because I'm not very good at Chinese, so can't help you with that. But I experienced the Emma rules are used in the north, and I've talked about with many people per email, and they say, "Hey, these are good rules because they have a steady pace." They call it.
I see. Okay. So how was, you said you're not very good at the Chinese rules, but how are your results at the Japanese rules here at the No Rate Parlors? How have your results been so far?
I'm astonished. I'm doing pretty good. I think I have a win rate about a fourth, so like 26-27%.
That's great.
And I thought it would be a much more gap between me and the Japanese players, but the most different thing was the speed, which took a 4 to 5 hours to get used to.
Mm.
If you're into that, well, still, the language barrier is there, and I cannot count my hands as fast as they do, because I have the European style of doing it, like counting my yaku, and then my fu, and then going with the calculator or with a short card
right.
I have 40 fu, and 4 yaku makes 7,700. And Japanese people, everybody seems to know it out of the FN.
Well, not everybody knows it, but I'm sure most of the people you've played with, I'm sure they do.
I've played with about 60 people.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there were two who did not know.
2 out of 60.
I think they were the only ones.
That's funny. Well, you know, lately there's a lot of video games and stuff that calculate it for you automatically.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of people here that cannot count quite as well, but a lot of them don't have the courage to go to the free parlors.
Yeah, I believe so. That's a problem.
The same as us, I would say. So, but I think that you can learn it pretty quickly. It just takes a lot of practice. So.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be too worried about that.
Yeah.
Most people just memorize the chart and they don't really calculate very much, I think.
Yeah, I believe so too. But it's a great ability to have to calculate your hand, especially if you're in the last part of the Hanshan and you think, well, I still need a 2,000 point to take second place.
Yeah.
And if you know what that 20 fu more does to you, you appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a huge thing that people do in this game, so, and that really separates the strong players from the weak players. The strong players are always calculating how much to get to the next step up. Definitely. We also want to plug your tournament coming up in June, although you will not be there. Kasu is still running strong while you and Raphael are both in Japan. So can you talk about how is the club running while you're gone? You have somebody taking your place?
Yeah, Mika Kama is taking my place in most of the organization things run through him, but I have a strong board of helpers, and many of the founding people are really hardworking, and I believe everything will be in place. I said I would play per video conference if I could, but I think I would need someone to take my stones. Tiles. Yeah. Tiles, we call it in English.
That's alright. I think everyone can get that you're talking about stones. I think that's a good slang term for it. I think we should start calling it too. Like, there's lots of slang terms in poker and stuff. We need to start making some English ones in Mahjong as well. There's tons of like slang terms in Japanese as well.
That was one of the confusing things, because we at Kazu really used the Japanese terms for everything, but I was pretty confused hearing what Japanese called things like shanten and the isha.
Yeah.
And how they calculate their points, they just leave half of the stuff we use out because...
Exactly. Yeah. They say instead of 3,900, they say zangfu.
Something like this. Exactly. And a huge problem for me, and even for Japanese people I noticed, is the differentiating between pon, ron.
Mm.
They just whisper pon. If you could hear that, you're good.
Yeah, I've actually had that problem where when I hear them and they say pom, a lot of times to me it sounds like rom.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out why. I guess they're just not enunciating the p sound, possibly.
Yeah.
But also when I say pom, I usually say pom.
Yeah.
And they always think I say con. And I cannot figure that out. Like, we just have different ears.
Yeah, no. Even Japanese people have a problem with my pom and my rom. So I had a solution about saying always pom this, chi this. It works, and if I run, they know I just say run and it's over.
Yeah.
It helps. So you've got to find one or two tricks when you play in Japan, I believe, to communicate things you do not know. Especially if you go to a parlor, every kind, make sure to know the rules and how you got to know what you do.
Because that's a huge thing.
Every parlor has a different set of rules, and you can get confused. And in the game, it's not the best to ask if there a counter or a door? Are there spikes in the game? It's something I nearly asked, but I just got it through playing. And so, these rules are intact.
Yeah, I find that a big problem, because a lot of people, I think, I'm not sure about Europe, but at least in the US, we're kind of taught that it's not really cool to look like you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So even if you don't know the rules, you're going to say, oh yeah, I've been here before, I know the rules, and just try and look cool, right? And that's something you really don't want to do at these parlors. You want to go in, you want to say, you know, this is my first time here, can you explain the rules to me, please? Because otherwise you're going to lose money and look more silly.
So learn Japanese before you do that, or go to no-rate parlors like I do, because I cannot talk that good Japanese.
I think the no-rate parlors are quite fun. I know that Benjamin Boas goes a lot as well.
Yeah.
And I haven't actually been to a no-rate parlor before, but because at first usually I was just playing video games or playing with my friends.
Yeah.
So I've never played at the no-rate, except for the costume parlor. That's some place we should definitely go while you're here, is the costume parlor. You go and you play against the girls that are wearing costumes.
That sounds dubious to me, but I'm even dubious about karaoke rooms, but yeah, I try everything.
Yeah, that's where we are right now. We are recording in a karaoke studio, and we have about an hour and a half in here, so we might break out in song after this interview is over. I just wanted to ask a couple more questions. So.
Sure.
The tournament in June, I know that you're not running it, so you know a little bit less about it, but there's 32 people, I saw, as the limit.
As the limit, yes, there is. Because there's not much more place in our main room.
In December, was there a limit on the tournament? Was it 20
people? We had an internal limit of 28, but it was internal, it was not announced, I believe.
I see.
We have already our homepage running, you can inform yourself. If you just go to www.kasu.at, you can look up in English what's the rules and what are the requirements to play.
good. And we also have a link to your site on reachmahjong.com under the About and Links section. I think it's under the Players.
Players.
We should probably move it under Organizations or put it under both. But I guess, as you can see, we're renewing our site in a lot of different ways. So Jem and I are working on that template. It's going to be nicer. We'll also have a Japanese version, so hopefully we can put a link, and anyone who comes to the Japanese one, they can try their hand at the German and the English on the KASU website. So what are your plans after? You're going to language school now in Tokyo, and then you're going to go to university, or what are your plans after that?
My plans are, I will be returning home for half a year to sell things, to clear about KASU especially, it's important, and then I will, if time allows it and everything works as I planned it, I will go to Kyoto and stay there at Kyoto Gakuen to study mythology of Asia.
Oh wow! What is in the mythology of Asia? Is it mostly Chinese, or is it?
It's the focus in Japan is of course on the Japanese, but since Japanese takes much elements out of China and different countries, you study them with, you have them in the course together.